Father, we just thank you again for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful church and the beautiful people, Lord, and we thank you for your presence. And Lord, we so thank you for the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, Lord, what can we do? So we rely upon you and lean upon you tonight, Holy Spirit, again, and we say, have your way in this place as we teach these courses. Have your way. I'm here as a vessel, and I say, I yield myself. I know that Tracy will yield herself tonight. Yield, we yield to you. And we ask you to come upon and by demonstration through the classes from, Lord, when you will and when you desire to do it, Lord, we are open, Father, in the name of Jesus, by your Spirit, to flow in the things of the Spirit of God as we teach this course in Jesus' name. Okay, what did I do with those? Okay, this is the course objective that we want to look at just before we get into the teaching. And obviously, it's an eight-week course on the gifts of the Spirit. So the course objective is to give each student a clear understanding of each individual gift of the Spirit, right? Now, the emphasis is on the gift of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, right? It has to be the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And these gifts are for the body of Christ. They are for the brethren, which we'll get into later. To show the student the gifts of the Spirit are manifestations, another key word, manifestation of God's own person. What do you mean God's own person? Well, God, the Holy Spirit, is God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is God. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God, the Holy Spirit, is God. And he is expressing and manifesting himself when he starts to flow in these gifts through his body. So to be biblical examples, to see the biblical examples of the gifts in operation in everyday lives, which we'll talk about some examples in our own life, but especially through the Scriptures, because I firmly believe we can give examples, but the reality is this, people. Faith, I've always known this, faith comes from the Word of God. Faith comes from the Word of God. And there was a statement, you know, Pastor Scott, you'd be interested to know this too. I'd say know this, he probably knows this. But anyway, this is something, you know, that I've heard over a period of time, and I think this is an interesting statement. Sometimes we can fast and pray. Now listen, I'm a prayer warrior. Tracy's a prayer warrior. We pray. We like to fast. There's all do things like that. But this statement was made, and sometimes we think that fasting and praying will move the hand of God. Right? To a degree, that's right. But actually, fasting actually basically closes your flesh down. It doesn't actually move God. It actually shuts our flesh down so that we can be more sensitive to God. That's what fasting does. Right? And the prayer. The reality is, if you don't preach, the only thing that will manifest in our life is what is preached. Because faith comes from the Word, right? Faith comes from the Word. So the manifestations, what I've recognized, even over the last 2 years that we've been teaching these gifts, as we preach the gifts and we talk about the Word of God, and especially in the different classes that we've taught over the last 2 years in Whakatane, is that the manifestations start to happen when you start to teach the Word of God. Because faith is coming to the hearts of the people, and people start drawing upon them and start having an expectation for God to move. How can you have an expectation for God to move if you don't know how God moves? You've got to pull upon the gifts of the Spirit. You've got to press in. You've got to desire. You've got to pursue God in these things. So I found over the time, yes, prayer has a part to do with it, fasting has a part to do with it, but not anything less than the Word of God. It is the Word of God that brings faith to your heart to believe God to operate in these things. So that was just a side thought. To break down the gifts of the specific groups of show how interrelated the function of the gifts can be with one another. I talked about that on Sunday a little bit, how there's nine gifts, but we'll talk of this more as we get into teaching, how they're related. The different gifts are very much related, the nine gifts. To show the biblical principles that each of the gifts is supernatural and is not earned or merited by man to possess it as his own. These gifts are not earned and they're not merited by us. They are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. They're not merited. You can't work to get these gifts working in your life. This is about a belief system in God and what he will basically bestow upon the church. It's about pressing it into God and let God manifest again how he wants to manifest. We don't manipulate God. We're not into manipulating God. I'll do this if you do this. Hey, God's word is there. He desires for us to flow in these things. But it's about, I always say to the church this, it's about seeking him. It's not even about seeking these gifts. Believe me, it's not even about, I teach on these gifts, but it's not about seeking the gifts. It's about seeking him, because he is the one who gives the gifts. We keep the focus on, seek ye first the kingdom of God first and the righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. We seek him. To show the biblical principle, each of the gifts is supernatural and not earned or merited by man to possess as its own. No, why? Because they're his manifestations. It's by the Spirit of God. You're not like a tap. You don't turn these things off and on. You stay open and sensitive to the Spirit of God, and that's why we need a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about that in the teaching also. To show the students that God's plan for his body is to manifest all these gifts as a sign and a witness to the world. He desires, our God, our Father, desires as a sign and a wonder. These gifts are a sign and a wonder to the world so that we can reach out with demonstration. Because other words, people, what have we got from one book? We have one book, and there's other religions that have another book. What's the difference? What is the difference? If you walk up to a Muslim and you say, but you know, this is the Bible, and they'll say, well, this is the Quran. What's the difference? The difference is our God is a God of love, and our God is a God of demonstration. Our God is a God of action. Our God desires and will show his power, but we have to be in a place of sensitivity to the things of the Spirit to press into our God so he can manifest him. One man of God met many years ago, went to India preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ as an evangelist, went there. It was a total flop. Just the things I'm talking about just now, you know, one book against another. And he went back defeated, beaten, and went back and got before the Lord and pressed into the Lord. And the Lord says to him, you need to go in my power. You need to go in the demonstration of my Spirit. You need to go the way that I want to send you. So he pressed into God. He sought God. He got into this stuff. And when he went back, God moved in demonstration and power in a Muslim nation. Right? And when the demonstration of the Spirit of God started manifesting, hey, it wasn't about a book any longer. It was about a God who was living and alive and demonstrating his power that caused the change in these people's lives. Amen. Okay, Tracy, just.
Okay, hello. Just Edmund for 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Okay, so obviously you've seen on your way in there is the booklets. You can just grab them. There's a registration form. We mainly want your name and phone number just in case, for instance, one evening something happened and we couldn't make it through. We want to be able to contact you individually. We want to know who's here. So we can contact you individually just in case something happened and we couldn't make it through. So just in the break time, just put your name and address down there. Now, obviously, Koha, or if you're getting a book, we're charging the $60 for the 8-week course with the book. You can pay that up, not with bananas. Sorry, the sillies have come upon me already. Okay, edit this. Not with the bananas, but yeah, you know, I've got little slips there. If you want to make any automatic payments or just pay online, I've got slips with their bank account number, or just cash, or just Koha in the box. Okay, I'm not going to monitor that, all right? And so that's us. So enjoy the course, and I'll hand it back over to Danny. He's going to start us off.
Okay, so this is the gifts of the Spirit we're talking about tonight. But a little sidetrack here. Let me just say this. Some people think that the gifts of the Spirit is what makes you spiritual. Let's get that right out the ball game, right out of the park, right now. God can use a donkey to speak. Right? Balaam. God can use a donkey. So it's not about being spiritual because we flow in the gifts of the Spirit. True spirituality is walking in the fruit of the Spirit. There is 9 fruits of the Spirit. And we as a people and the body of Christ have to develop the 9 fruits of the Spirit within our life. True spirituality comes by walking with God and walking out of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? Basically, when you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. It's you developing your spirit man in the fruits of the Spirit that makes you spiritual. Spirituality is walking with him, because what God is love, that's his nature. So when you're walking in that love realm, sometimes we try to make spirituality over. It's oversensitized sometimes about how people think what spirituality is. Spirituality is actually just walking like he walks. Loving people, how he loves people. You know, just reaching out to people. That's spirituality. So we're not trying to put it up here in a cloud somewhere, right? The gifts of the Spirit don't make you the spiritual giant that you think that you are. The spiritual gifts are the manifestations by the Spirit of God to reach out and to change the things round about you, not to make you look good. The spiritual gifts are not about making us look good. It's about glorifying Him that He wants to reveal Himself. Jesus wants to reveal Himself to the people so He can deliver them, set them free, show who He is to the world. The same Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. When you read the four Gospels, it's all supernatural. Every page that you read in the four Gospels are all supernatural. Jesus walked a supernatural life, and yet the Bible tells us clearly we're supposed to be transformed into the likeness and the image of Him. We're supposed to do, in fact, He makes a statement. He says, hey, the works that I do, you shall do, and greater works shall you do. Now, I believe the greater works that He was talking about is, hey, He was one person preaching the gospel, right? One person. But we are now talking the body of Christ worldwide, where the gifts of the Spirit and the manifestations of God can flow through His body worldwide. Miraculously, it's worldwide now, where He could only go a certain place at a certain time because He was in a physical body, even though He was a Son of God. So there's miraculous things He wants the body to move in, but we have to come to the place to believe it, right? And that's the key. We have got to believe it. And the only way people say, I don't know if I can believe it, well, that's why we preach the word. One man of God said many years ago, feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. The only way that you can starve your doubts to death is to feed your faith, and that's why we preach the word on different subjects, why your pastors and the apostolic anointing is building the kingdom. Why? To teach the word of God. Do you know one of the greatest ministries that Jesus was an apostle, but He'd done a lot of teaching from village to village. Do you know why? He brought faith to people's lives so they'd get into a place where they could believe. So we have to believe. So I will say this. When we're doing these classes over the 8 weeks, and I'm sure that your pastor will be happy with this. If he's not, he can tell me. Stop me right here. We want the freedom of the Holy Spirit. As I say, we don't switch the gifts on and off as we want to. But there's times I'm behind the pulpit, and sometimes things start to happen, and it's happened over the last 2 years when we've preached. Right? I've just been minding my own business, preaching the Word of God, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just comes and starts to manifest. So is that okay with you? So if that's what happens, what I'm saying is, be sensitive, but you have to have an expectation. You have to have an expectation for God to move as we teach on these gifts. Have an expectation. Believe God. Say, Lord, You're teaching these gifts for the reason. You've sent these people here to teach us these things for a reason. And the reason that I believe, Lord, is so that we can operate in these gifts and be more effective to build Your kingdom. So have an expectation. Put a demand on the word of God, as they say. Put a demand on it. Father, I believe and I expect and I open myself up to as You will and as You purpose. I'm here, Lord. Use me. So if I sense we're here and the Spirit of God starts to move, I usually can tell. And all of a sudden, I'll just stop and I'll wait and we'll take our time, because this is about, we want the real deal. Amen. We don't want the kiddie stuff, kiddie on stuff anymore. We want the real deal. We want the real Jesus. We want the real Holy Spirit. We want the real manifestation. Amen. Okay. Gifts of the Spirit, lesson one, introduction. In these lessons, we will study the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the church. These lessons are teachings related to the sign gifts of the Spirit. The sign gifts are special and supernatural gifts from the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, given to the New Testament church. Come on, put your hand up. Are we the New Testament church? We are the New Testament church, right? The book of Acts hasn't stopped. We're still, in that book of Acts. It's the New Testament church, and these sign gifts are for the New Testament church for us to operate in. So these gifts are special weapons of warfare against the devil, the world, and the flesh. They're weapons against the devil, the world and the flesh. And what I mean by, when I read that, you know, again, I had to stop myself and think, okay, Lord, the flesh. Well, you know, you can be standing in a situation where the flesh of man is contradicting whatever, and all of a sudden God gives you a word of knowledge or something, and all of a sudden you speak, right? It happened to me today, actually. I've worked with this guy, he actually comes from, this is on tape, so I won't be saying anything. Anyway, I'm at work today, and this guy comes in, and he's a lovely guy, comes and goes, and for some reason, just at my desk today, I was just listening to some stuff on the gifts of the Spirit, because I always feed myself. Even though I teach this stuff, I feed myself. You see, you've got to feed your faith. Even on the subject, I teach this for the last few years, but I still feed my faith. I feed myself on this stuff. And he says, that's interesting. He says, what you listen to? And I start to tell him. Then all of a sudden, he just backs off a little bit, and then next thing, we get into a conversation. And he is a real, you know, educated, very, you know, reasons everything out, this guy, you know, really smart guy, very much technician, one of those guys that into nitty-gritty stuff. And he's hitting me with some stuff. And I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, Lord, as I'm looking at him, I'm just listening to him, and I'm saying, Lord, give me things to speak to him. Right? Because sometimes we can just rattle off, right? We just want to jump in with the argument, and we just jump in with the Word of God so many times. I'm sitting there, and this is the key. I'm sitting there, I'm saying, Lord, as he's talking to me, I'm listening to him, and I'm saying, Lord, inside of me, I'm saying, Lord, just give me things to talk to him. And everything he started to talk about, it was like God was just rising up inside of me and was just counteracting everything that was actually happening. And he's standing there, and he had no answers. He's just looking at me, and he had no answers. And he says, look, I need to go now. His mind was just like reeled back. Because I just didn't jump on my 2 feet. I sat there and said, Lord, give me something. Lord, how do I answer him? How do I answer him in these situations? And I just started springing up inside. And says, this, and this. And he just looked and he was like, oh, didn't know how to answer. So we've got to be walking with the Holy Spirit and be asking God in these situations so that we can be more effective. So I know that he left. But I know now the Holy Spirit has a great opportunity to work with him, because now the word of the Lord is spoken, because it wasn't Danny's word, it was the Spirit of the Lord. It was speaking through Danny. And God now has the opportunity now to work with this man. So these gifts are from the Holy Spirit. The gifts operating in you do not prove your spirituality, which I was talking about 5 minutes ago. In many minds, a generation ago, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit were something like the icing on the cake. Somehow, they thought it proved that they were more spiritual than others. This, of course, is not true. As I was praying, coming over here tonight, I was thinking about this and meditating on this. And I knew straight away, as I was meditating this, I knew it was the Lord. And the Lord says, hey, the Corinthian church. Come on, Pastor. The Corinthian church were a bit messed up church, wasn't it? Right, it was a bit messed up, right, and all sorts of things. And you know something about that church? They came behind in no spiritual gift. They came behind in no spiritual gift. So it wasn't accounting to them walking even right, and them walking and having everything perfect. It wasn't to do with that. It was to do with God will meet the needs. If there's a need there, and God has a vessel there at the point, then he will meet the needs. So it doesn't make them spiritual, because when you start to read Corinthians, Paul, as the apostle, had to deal with some crazy stuff in that church. People sleeping with their mother-in-laws and different things and crazy things that he had to deal with as an apostle and straighten that church out. But yet they came behind in no spiritual gifts. So spirituality doesn't come because you operate in the gifts. That's just the grace of God at a point in time to minister to a situation so God can reach out. So God doesn't wait. What I believe I'm trying to say is, look, God doesn't wait till you're perfect before he will use you in the gifts of the Spirit. If he did, it could be a long time. But he doesn't. He will use us. We're growing step by step by the grace of God. So the only way to the fulfillment of Joel 2:28 could possibly happen is for the diversification of the gifts to take place throughout the body of Christ, the church. This was the only means to ensure that the blessing would reach the total world population. In fact, Joel 2:28 says this, and it shall come to pass afterwards This was the prophecy of Joel, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. What category are you in? He's still a lot of vision here. Anyway, let's go back. Your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions, right? Joel. Now, the interesting fact about this, that's Joel 2:28. But if you go into Acts chapter 2, and the apostles actually, they talk about this prophecy, but there's a little difference, right? If you go into it and you read it, and he quotes this about Joel, and he says, and it talks about the prophecy Joel, and it says, I will pour out of my spirit. I will pour out of my spirit. He says, I will pour. What does he say here? Look, let's read this again. And he says here, your old men shall dream, is I shall come upon, and I will pour out my spirit. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. But in Book of Acts, it says, I will pour out of my spirit. Right? Because even in the Old Testament, they had seven manifestations of the gifts operating in the Old Testament. Right? Wasn't until you get to the New Testament, you get another two gifts, which is tongues and interpretation, because that's for the grace of the church age. So they had the Holy Spirit coming upon them, and they were still prophesying and miracles and signs and wonders, even in the Old Testament. But in the Book of Acts, it says, I will pour out of my spirit. Now, just where is the Holy Spirit? We are his body. We are his temple. He wants to pour out of his spirit. That's why you have to stay filled with the Spirit. Many people get baptized in the Holy Ghost and they think that's it. People, that ain't it. You have to stay filled. You have to stay continually filled through your worship, through your praise, through your intimacy with God, where he continually fills you to overflowing. Our pastor used to tell us years ago, many times he said, minister from the overflow, not from the dregs. Not from the dregs. So that takes intimacy with God to flow in the overflow. So that was just a little side thing there in Book of Acts, and you can look at that in your own time. So the challenge to the church, one of the greatest dangers facing the modern church is that it will become social welfare organization in many areas such as, now watch this, it can refer the alcoholic to the Alcoholic Anonymous. Oh, the church doesn't want to know about that. Flip them over to the Alcoholics Anonymous. Too hard basket. And now, and this may not be happening here, but believe me, I've been around a long time and I've seen this stuff. What I'm about to tell you is now, I've seen this stuff. And it should not be, because Jesus Christ has the answers to mankind. He has the answers, he has the solutions to deliver and set the captives free. Because that's who he is. He is the deliverer. He is the healer. He is all of that to mankind, but we have actually, you know, substituted these things because a lot of people in the past have not wanted to, what, preach these things in case it didn't work or get embarrassed. Hey, if we're dead, we're dead. How can a dead man get embarrassed? Paul says, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He lived in Christ, and Christ lived in him. And he learned to crucify his flesh. It wasn't about him, it was about Christ. And the more we focus on Christ, it's not about you. God is faithful. So it can refer, so this, you know, this the church can do these things. It can refer the emotionally distraught to the psychiatrist. I worked in social work. Come on, people. I worked in social work for 10 years back in Scotland. 10 years I worked there. It's sticky plaster stuff. It's sticky plaster stuff. That's what it is. They dig into people's lives. I've worked there. I've worked with a psychologist. I've worked with them in social work for over 10 years back in Scotland. They sit there and they dig and they have the person talking and talking and talking, and then they start to assess things and they dig the junk up and trying to get the junk up. But the only problem is when the junk comes up, they don't know what to do with it. That's the problem. And then people live with a sticky plaster mentality and they live with the problem for the rest of their life. Jesus doesn't want the people to live with the problem for the rest of their life and just overcome. He wants to deliver the people from the problem and set the captives free. By the Spirit of God, by the words of knowledge and the words of wisdom and descending of spirits, when God comes into the church and reveals something and sets the captives free, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. It's not that you walk with this thing for the rest of your life and be like a lame dog. You will be whole. Jesus Christ comes to make you whole, comes to set the captives free and make you whole. And that's what these gifts are about. So that the church can be prepared with these warfare gifts to set the captives free. Now, let me just say this and the other side. The psychologists and all these, they do the best job that they can. But that's for the world. The church has the supernatural. If we'll believe, he has the supernatural. There's many things in my life that the supernatural Spirit of God has spoken into my life. And even through, I just got to tell you this. I remember one time that I was just worshiping God. And all of a sudden, as I'm worshiping God, that pain that I felt was just horrendous. And I stopped. And I was in the house of a very prophetic woman who was in the church in Scotland. She was very prophetic. I mean, intimately prophetic, right? And I'm standing there. And she turned and looked at me. And she says, get yourself out the road and keep on singing. Let God want to do what he wants to do. Now, somebody speaks to people like that in the church. They get all huffed and all bent out of shape. And they'll just take off. Who are you speaking to like that? But I knew this person. I knew that she was more concerned about my spiritual well-being and me feeling and getting emotionally distressed because the way that she spoke to me. She says, get yourself out the road and let God do what he wants to do. So I was worshiping God again. And I started to worship. And as I started to worship, all of a sudden I felt this horrendous pain. It was horrendous. Something that had happened in my life that caused me pain was starting to rise. Was it in my spirit? No, it was in my soulical being. It was in my soulical being. Come on, I've taught the new creation reality in these classes. Spirit, soul, and body. It wasn't from my spirit. The pain that I was feeling was like, it was the center of my being, which is your soulical, the soulical man. It is the seat of the emotions. Was all it was bumping around, and it was giving me tremendous pain. It was in my soulical being. But it was, what happened was, the Spirit of God was rising inside me and was pushing this stuff like dirty water, was pushing this stuff up to the surface, and I'm starting to like shake. She said, and I stopped again. Third time she says, get yourself out the road and let God do what he wants to do. So I start worshiping the Lord again. And the third time I'm worshiping God, and all of a sudden the prophetic kicked in. Out of my own mouth, people. Out of my own mouth. It was like the psalmist David, and we might get into this later. I don't know if it's in this teaching. Not sure. The psalmist, you read some of the psalms, and the psalmist David, he's worshiping and he's praising his God. And as he's praising and worshiping his God, all of a sudden you see the psalm changing, and all of a sudden God starts speaking to him through his own mouth and singing to him through his own mouth. He starts singing to the psalmist David through his own mouth and starts revealing things to him, the psalmist David. That's what happened. I'm standing there, I'm worshiping God, and God starts singing to me about the situations that happened in my life, and even though it was painful, and this is what he sung to me. He says, and this is the picture I saw. I saw this open sore. I saw it in the spirit. I saw this open sore, and I saw Daddy's hand coming to touch it, and I kept cringing as he came to touch it. And this is what he sung to me out of my own mouth. He says, it's amazing to me how you minister on behalf of me on people who are hurt for me. But the minute I try to come and touch this thing in your life, you won't let me touch it. He sung that to me through my own mouth. And I says, Lord, I yield. He went in there to that soulical being and he took that burden from me and delivered me from that painful thing that was in my life. Instantly delivered and set free. Totally set free. Not carrying that thing around with it any longer. That's the Spirit of God. Why? Because when I was worshiping, I was in the realm of God. I was in the Spirit. See, we're talking about the things of God and the gifts of the Spirit. We have got to get into the Spirit. The things of the Spirit are by the Spirit, but they are in the Spirit. That's why we have to be a people of prayer or worship, because it brings the atmosphere where God can move That brought the atmosphere where God could move, and he set me free in that instant through my own mouth. My own mouth. And God's done that to me a few times about situations in my life. I've been singing, worshiping, and he's basically sung through my own mouth and revealed things to me. So these gifts are not just for other people. They are for you, that God will reveal things to you. So we can refer refer delinquent children to the offenders unit. We can refer mentally unbalanced to the asylum. Come on, how many Christians have been in the asylum? Shouldn't be. But when the Spirit of God comes and the church rises up and the discerning of spirits and the words of knowledge, people can be set free from demonic influence that's in their life. The Holy Spirit move of God teaches that Christ is the answer right now. Right now. Come on, faith is now, isn't it? Now faith is. Jesus is the answer now. Not tomorrow, not the day after. He's the answer now. He was the answer right now. The minute you received Jesus, he was the answer to your problem of eternal damnation or eternal heaven. When you receive Jesus Christ, it's right now. But that was paid for 2,000 years ago. But it was now in your life. So faith is now. It's always now. It's always now. Jesus is pertinent to our life now. So the key to the truth is the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are weapons of our warfare. They are weapons. Come on. How many times... And there's situations in my life that I've been sitting counseling people and whatever, and all of a sudden, you knew it was a demonic spirit by the Spirit of God. I've been in that, these situations. A demonic spirit just working in their life. And you can counsel until the cows come home. That's what I mean by psychology and psychiatric and all this stuff, whatever. You can counsel. Listen, you can't counsel a demon. That's a nugget right there. You can't counsel a demon. Because if you're in a situation and you're talking to somebody, it's a demon speaking to you through that person, and it just sounds like them that's speaking, and they're speaking to you, and it's a demon speaking, you're counseling a demon. They'll run you round ragged. But when the gifts of the Spirit come into operation, the word of knowledge come into operation, it's a whole different ballgame. The enemy always wants to keep us in the natural realm, in the solical realm, in the seeing and feeling realm. That's his realm. But you get over into the faith realm, where the God realm is, and you'll be defeated every single time. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 11. But the manifestations of the Spirit, right? This is Corinthians 12, 7 and verse 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom, through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of the healings by the same Spirit. You see how it keeps saying, by the same Spirit, by the same Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God is doing these things, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another the prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. He, the Holy Spirit, works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Not as you will, as he wills. Now, you've got to be open, and you've got to have an expectation, but it's as he wills and as he purposes. The gifts are all supernatural. They are signified a breakthrough of the omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience of the third person of the Trinity, and they are the same today, all-powerful, all-present. He's all-powerful, he's all-presence. He's all-powerful, he's all-presence. That's who he is. Did I skip a page? Wow. Thank you. That was a good page, wasn't it? We'll flick through it very quickly when we get to it. Okay, spiritual warfare. So we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, right? And I said they are weapons against the enemy, against the natural things, things that we can't see, perceive, our natural mind, our intellect, our emotions, or our reasoning realm. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are for. They go beyond these things, and they reveal things by the Spirit of God. And that's why they're so powerful. So here it says here, although the gifts of the Spirit are called gifts, they are not optional. Did you hear me? They're not optional. They are not placed at the disposal of the church or a take it or leave it basis. They are a necessary part of the fighting gear. They are weapons of the defense. They are the weapons of our defense and offense. They are the weapons. You don't send the soldier out to war and don't arm him. Come on. Can you imagine us sending soldiers onto the front line with no weapons? Do you think God, Jesus makes statement, he says, look, I'll build my church. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How do you think that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church? Because he equips the church with supernatural spiritual gifts to overcome the works of darkness, to overcome things supernaturally. We are a supernatural people because we're born of God. That's why the new creation reality teaching is so powerful, because we get a grip of that stuff, that who we are in Christ. Because I know, as you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you'll come to the throne room of grace and mercy with a boldness to receive from your Father what belongs to the church, with an expectation. Without the gifts of the Spirit, the church is severely restricted before the onslaught of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Restricted. Like I talked about 5 minutes ago, sitting there trying to counsel people, and it's a demonic spirit that's talking through the person and running you ragged. You are defeated before you even start. In fact, one man says this, if you don't realize that you are born into a warfare, you've already lost. If you don't realize that you're born into a warfare, you've already lost. Church isn't just a comfortable place we come in. We're just, you know, we come to church to be equipped people. We come to worship our God, but in worshiping our God equips us with the great teaching and apostolic anointings and prophetic anointings and all the things that he has. He is equipping his body to do what he wants to do. He's equipping us as an army, to go out there and to take charge of the situations in your life. But one, you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Two, you have to know who he is. And three, you have to know that these gifts are for you and you can expect to move in them. So, here's what we're talking about right now about the warfare. Ephesians 6 and 10, this is Apostle Paul talking about to the church at Ephesus. 6 and 10 and 12, finally, my brother. So he's talking to the brethren. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'd love to take time on that. I can't. Whole teaching on that wiles of the devil and how the enemy works and makes inroads into your mind, like the Roman soldiers made inroads to different countries and then conquered the countries. The enemy makes inroads to people's minds through lies and deception. And we need this armor to stop these things happening in our lives. Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We are in a warfare, like our lumpet. You might say, oh, I'm not into that warfare stuff. Well, you can sit back in your laurels and watch what happens, because the enemy doesn't care if you believe it or you don't. He is out to destroy the church, but he can't. Do you know why he can't? Because God is all-powerful, omnipresent, all-powerful. He can't. That's why Jesus says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Okay, let me just pause for a second now. You remember when Jesus turned around and says to Peter, who do they say I am, Peter? And Peter says, hey, they say you are this and you're that and you're Jeremiah and this and that. And he says, no, Peter. He says, Peter, who do you say I am? He was talking to the disciples. Who do you say I am? And then Peter looks at him and he goes, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus turned around and says to him, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father. How? By the Spirit of God. And then he goes on to say, and upon this I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Against what? On Peter's name? No, upon revelation knowledge. It's revelation he was talking about. He got a revelation of who Jesus was. When we get a revelation of the gifts of the Spirit, and we get a revelation of how powerful God is and who we are in Christ Jesus, and we can walk in, when we start to get revelation knowledge, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. So Jesus is building the church on revelation knowledge, not from the natural knowledge, revelation knowledge by the Spirit of God, revealed knowledge, Holy Ghost knowledge, revealing things. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not natural, they're not intellectual. They're not reasoning. You don't sit there and reason things and try to figure out why a person's in a state that they're in. They're not natural. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but mighty in God. See, in God. Where's God? He's in you. Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, pulling down strongholds. You're working with people. And all of a sudden, even with that man that I was talking to today, there were certain strongholds in his mind that the enemy had been lying to him about and reason and really try to reason things out with, what, about God and why this and why that and why God this and just reasoning realm. And one of the statements he made, I'll just give you an example of what I'm talking about. One of the statements he goes like that, well, who says, and you know, and if there's a God, what does that mean? And who says that, you know, that who should be in charge? And what about the laws? And who says that those laws are right? And who says that he's in charge of things? And what he was trying to say was like that, you know, I want to live my life the way that I want to live it without anybody telling me how to live it. That's what he was really saying. And I said to him, is that right, buddy? And this was the Spirit of God instantly. This straight up. Because he was talking about, well, who says, you know, rights and wrong? How is the rights and how is the wrongs? And who makes the laws? And who said that God made these laws? And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, you live on this planet, don't you? Hopefully. I mean, I said it nicely. I wasn't being as nice as I could. I could say it. I said, you live on this planet, don't you? And he goes, yep. I said, you drive a car, don't you? He goes, yep. I said, drive along towards Rotorua. I said, and break the law. I said, and see what happens. There's a consequence. Because you broke a law that the government made. So somebody has to be making the laws. And whether you like the laws or whether you don't like the laws are there to protect other people and to bring blessing. So you don't have to believe in the law. You don't care. And you're saying you don't. You're talking about God. I said, I'm talking about the natural. I said, people make laws and you have to abide by them. I said, but they're for your benefit. I said, God made certain laws and certain situations that we don't break. And if we break them, there is consequences to the things. And he just stood back. But the real thing, the real issue, I knew, Brother Spahn, I knew. He was asking those questions because he was one of those people, he wanted to live his life the way that he wanted to live it, and nobody wanted to tell him how to live his life. I says, Jesus loves you, my friend. I says, Jesus is nothing other than what pure love for you and laid his life down for you. So forget about the laws and all the rest of it. I say, he loves you. I said, but from that, I said, I walk with God because I love him because he first loved me. So we've got to be prepared to answer things by the Spirit of God and things that we know how to answer things, how when people talk to us and just diffuse things when they've got these things in their head and their mind. Confused and lies and deception and thinking God's a harsh God. So the untapped power, the great untapped power on the face of this earth is in the church. It's in the church, people. Come on, put your hand up. You born again? Well, he's talking to you. The untapped power is living and dwelling within you. In fact, the Apostle Paul's prayer says this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. He says, I pray, he says, God is able to do far more than you could ever imagine or even think, according to what? The power that what? That worketh in you. In you. The power that worketh in you. There's a power that dwells within us, that has to be stirred within us. Jesus says, from your belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's a power within us that has to be stirred. There's treasure. There's wisdom. There's supernatural things that he's placed within us that we have not been tapping into. I mean, there's gold mines that's not been tapped into yet, and they're still sitting there. There's diamond mines that are sitting there waiting to be tapped into. That's never been dug up. It's never been, the resources sitting there. There is resources within us that God said, I've placed things within you. We're always looking to the external for things to work out, and God has placed a DNA and a destiny within us. In here. In Christ Jesus. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Asking God to reveal these things to us. So the church is the great power on the earth, the untapped power. The greatest unused strength in the world lies dormant in the church, and if there is any sleeping giant that can change this world, it is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If a person studies the great revivals of history and analyzes them, he will discover these tremendous weapons of the warfare were in action at the time of those great victories. Do you know why Azusa Street was so powerful? Anybody held Azusa Street? The great revival of Azusa Street? I mean, lines and lines and lines and lines and lines and lines for, I don't know how, I think it was like over 3 years or whatever, right? People lined up to get into that place. Do you know why? Because there were supernatural miracles happening there. I mean, you read some stuff on the Azusa Street revival, and there was men with no arms. No arms. And right before people's eyes, their arms started growing out. You're talking right in front of bones, flesh coming on the bones and on the arms, and the arms were appearing out of nothing. That isn't a healing. That isn't the gifts of healing, which we'll get into later on in teaching over the weeks. That is the working of miracles. The working of miracles, see, people say, they say miracles this and miracles that, and they use this word miracle. A miracle creating something that's not even there. That's a miracle. Go, I'm going to pray for a gift of healings. Gift of healings won't do nothing there. It's a miracle. That was a miracle. These things were happening in that Azusa Street revival. And it went on for years. Why? Because people were hungry for the real deal. And these men and the women of God had such a handle on these things that they were pursuing God, and there was great revival, and there was great things happening. Has God changed his mind? No. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we've got to get back into the place. What were these people doing for this stuff? They were penetrating. Now, there was some stuff, you read some of that stuff, and some things are funny to us in our mind. There was one guy that used to sit in the front row. One of the preachers would sit there, and he would sit with a bag over his head. Right? Or his head in a box, right? You'd go, what? What type of church am I in? But what I'm saying, see, he was dead to him. So he didn't care what people thought. He's not interested in what people thought. We've got to get to the place that we don't care what the enemy's saying or what people are saying when we know that we know by the Spirit of God. That guy stuck his head in a box or a bag. He sat there. And the reason being was he has blocked everything out until he was ready, until he knew that he knew the Spirit of God was ready to move. But sometimes we're just jumping into things and trying to do things from our fleshly nature, or just because we know something or we know some scripture, we're just jumping into things. I believe the key is in God. It's in him. Paul says, I live and I move and I have my being in him. I move by the Spirit of God. I speak by the Spirit of God. Come on, Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father say. That's very intimate. So these men had a handle on some of this stuff. So I'm not suggesting that you all sit with bags on your head, right? But, that was just another way. That was the way he dealt with it. But hey, I don't care if Pastor Scott decided to sit with a bag on his head. If he was walking in that type of power, I don't care if he sat with two bags on his head and a bag on his feet. I wouldn't care. So people weren't interested in the bag. They were interested in the power that was being demonstrated by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so remendel robos de barne mes de king grangio u gigesti ingres de mende in da indiki coprangi. Hazil rush din bros de menzair nickel rose de lady ingres de kiddi ingres to par no zondrai lady ingres de ingre. A rush di minzeis de killeri ingrais doru du umbres de mandai lidere ingrais to kumba jinde le mandai. En zanglis drus dulurris de verdor de bestil drenglen grus din glengrai in greco paes de mende andai. En zo ribis de king grace de mandai. Now, I'm standing here in the knowing, and I could tap into the interpretation right away. But if you feel or sense in your spirit that you have an interpretation to that, this is the platform. You'll sense it. It just bubbles up in you. It's like bubbling in here. It just lies just like a weight upon your spirit. And it just wants to be released. Do you have it? You don't? Many have come. And many have seen of the things that I've done in the past. But this is a new day, says the Lord. This is a day that I will reveal myself. I will reveal myself by my Spirit. And there will be a continual flow that will never end until the coming of my Son. You're in the day and you're in the hour of great power. You are in the day and you're in the hour of the manifestations of my Spirit. For my Son has paid a price at Calvary for the church. For my Spirit to flow in my church, I need my children to know. I need my children to know that I'm willing to flow. As you yield yourself to me, then you'll know it is truly me. For it's time for my church to arise and for the world to see the light that I've placed within thee. Hallelujah.
So who got something around near that? I'm just wondering, did anybody? I know. I mean, give me a break, but whatever. So I got a very small fragment of that at when you first asked, and I was like, well, that's weird. But I'm not going to make you say anything. I'm not going to make you get up here. I probably won't make you say anything. I probably won't make you get up here. But who got something sort of close to that? Anyone besides Jabron, the rebel? But no one else? Yep.
Funny when you said that Jabron had it. Okay, so I was sitting there and I was like watching Jabron. And I was watching Jabron just almost like with pen and paper and saying, oh, I wish I could move in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm dreaming about moving the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe I'm going to write about doing it. I wish I could do it. And then I heard the Lord say, well, he gives you the desires of your heart. Those desires are from him and he's doing it. So when I heard your hubby say that you had it, I sat there and giggled thinking, I think I was just watching that you had it. and you know, I just was like, that's confirmed. I thought, what was that? Because I knew it wasn't the interpretation of that, but I was just watching and listening to your heart. I loved it so much. It's just beautiful when the Spirit's moving. And I got that fragment I was watching. Where are you?
Just stepping out, that's all it is. Did I know what I think I was going to say? No, I didn't. Sometimes I just wait and I hear just one word. Just one word.
I mean, I heard, if my people arise, that's what I think.
And that's how it starts, that one word. And if you step out in that one word, the rest flows. It's called faith, people. It's faith. You do these things by faith. It's not of the mind. It's about trusting God. And hey, we're in a safe environment here. We're in a safe environment. If you make a mistake, it's okay. It's okay. If it's really, really bad mistake, you'll be brought back into line. That's okay too. Because God likes to correct us so we can become better and stronger in the things that he wants to move us into. It's just training. As I was just starting to preach there, all of a sudden, I just sensed in my spirit, that's why I couldn't speak. You just know. You just know by the Spirit of God. And that's what happens usually in these classes. See, I was just minding my own business. But I always say to the Lord, they're not my classes, Lord. You have access. See, you've got to put a demand on these things. And I give you access to move through me anytime you want, because these are your classes. They're not my classes. They're not Tracy's classes.
Can I just add something? Yep. When Danny first started speaking, I really felt like just this urgency of the Lord really speaking. It was almost like when Paul had that dream about that man in Macedonia who was like, come over here. We need somebody to tell us about God. And when Danny started giving, so that all I got was like this sense of urgency, but I didn't really, and I'm like, well, I don't know. That's not what I'm familiar with interpreting. But I don't know. I just really wanted to say that it's like, if we don't rise up and use these gifts, it's like there are people in our community that are dying. They don't know God. They don't know his hope. They don't have, a hope for their future. And we're the ones that we've got the hope that we can offer them, and it's the power of God working through us.
That's right, because we're in the time of urgency and God wants to manifest. So, now, where was I? So the great revival is moving at... If a person studies the great revivals in history and analyzes them, he will discover these tremendous weapons of a warfare were in action at the time of those great victories. The hope of great revival is the moving and functioning of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which beyond doubt are the great weapons of a warfare against the enemy. What are the gifts of the Spirit? Although the gifts of the Spirit are discernible through the entire Bible, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, gives names and explanations concerning the gifts of the Holy Spirit at the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gives them names. So I've already done that. That first part of that, so we don't have to go back over it again, because we go back over these stuff anyway. So let me just jump down to this bit here. Don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant, right? 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Who's he talking to? The church. He's talking to the brethren, right? He's talking to those who know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, the brethren. And he's saying, I don't want you to be ignorant of these things. In fact, what's it Isaiah says? Isaiah says this way, "My people perish for the lack of knowledge." And we know what the word knowledge in that scripture means. It means the redemptive revelation of who he is. Right? "My people perish, not for the lack of loving God, but for the lack of knowledge, revealed revelation knowledge by the Spirit of God. People perish." So notice these words are directed to the brethren. The gifts of the Spirit are only for the believers in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit manifests himself through the believers. Now we know that there's New Age and all the rest of it. Now here's an interesting fact. Just a quick little thing in this. Hey, people, do you know why I believe a lot of times that the church have closed this stuff down? It's because they've been scared because of the New Age stuff and all the rest that get creeping into the church and whatever. But you know the reality is, if there's a counterfeit, there has to be the real deal, right? So that actually tells you a story on its own. So there's something positive. If there's a counterfeit, right, it's a counterfeit of the real deal. This stuff is the real deal. But it has to be based upon the Word of God. It has to be based upon seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing Jesus, knowing the Holy Spirit, and it has to always outflow from what? The main fact that I always say in the classes, it has to outflow from love. Because the character of God is love. He loves people and desires to set the captives free. So the gifts flow from the love of God into the situations. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples, knowing that he would soon face crucifixion, he spoke solemn words to them, and he promised that he would pray to the Father to give them another comforter. So this is Jesus speaking to the disciples now, right? And he says, this is what he says in John 14, 16 and 17, Amplified Bible. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby." That's a mouthful, isn't it? You can meditate on one of those things and it bless your socks off, right? A whole bunch of things that the Holy Spirit is to your life. He's a person. He's not a net and he's not a thing. He's God, the Holy Spirit. "That he may remain with you forever. For the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him, nor know him, or know and recognize him. But you know..." But he says, but this is Jesus saying, "But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you." Jesus was prophesying to the disciples at that point in time, and he says, "You know him, you've seen his work, you've seen his manifestation of the Holy Spirit, you know him," and he says, "He's with you, but he will be in you." And that's the difference from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The Holy Spirit came upon them in the Old Testament to do supernatural feats. In the book of Acts, as I told you about Joel's prophecy, in the book of Acts prophecy, the little difference is, "I will flow out of my spirit upon all flesh." So Jesus is saying the same thing here. You will know him. Why will you know him? Because he will come and he will dwell within you. He's dwelled with you, but he will dwell within you. So one of the key factors is having relationship with Holy Spirit, knowing his voice. And the fact that this, that the Holy Spirit will always take you to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to the Word. He will always keep you grounded and founded on the Word of God. He will never make you flaky, people. He will always keep your feet grounded upon the Word of God, and the Word of God is the anchor of your soul. The Holy Spirit commanded the church not to be ignorant of concerning spiritual gifts. It is amazing that when God says be ignorant, we proceed to be more ignorant about the subject than any other. So to overcome the ignorance, we must study all the available information and in prayer, Seek to comprehend the total truth regarding the gifts of the Spirit. And that really means pursuing God, penetrating into the presence of God and looking for the manifestations of God within our life so we can be called the sons of God. Come on, every time I come here, I walk to the toilet, and when I walk out, what hits me? That poster in there. What is the world waiting for? Does anyone know what that poster says in there? The manifestations of the sons of God. We are already the sons of God, but the world is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. The church need to yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost so the manifestation of the Holy Spirit can show that we are the true sons of God walking in the true supernatural. Amen. Like, take a break, and then Tracy's going to finish off.
So we're on page 5. I'll just finish off at the top there. The world is dying of ignorance. The medical world is ignorant of how to cure cancer, heart attacks, and every other kind of major disease. The third world may be ignorant of the importance of cleanliness and sanitation, both of which are basic elements for healthy living. Today, much of the Christian world is ignorant of truth and the need to use their spiritual gifts, which have been given to the church by God. Amen. But that's why we love to teach, because we love to change that ignorance into knowledge and into revelation knowledge, so the body of Christ can rise up and be exactly like Jesus. Like Danny said, our aim is to be like Jesus. And if we read what Jesus did, he operated fully in all the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, and it was confirming his words. We're not to be just by word. We're to be with words and confirmation. We're to have the backup of the Holy Ghost so that people can see Jesus. Especially in this day and age, there's so many words that's flying around. We live in such a word kingdom with all the technology. There's words flying around all the time. They're all technology and everything that's going on. Everything is sped up. There's so much advertising. There's words coming at us all the time, unless we like live in a rural area or, you know, some little cottage on a hill. We're always hearing words, and people are desensitized by words because they don't know who or what to believe. Okay, but if we have the power of God backed up, for example, you know, this is a training school. So yay for everyone that did pick up on that interpretation of tongues, yay, because that's what's going to happen. And then next time you're going to have the courage, hey, I've got it, or I've got one word, or I've got five words. This is what this is. It's a safe training school. I mean, you ask Susan, you ask Ginny. That's what it's all about. It's about being trained and about giving it a go. Okay, so like next week we'll expect, hey, I've got one word, great. Come and bring the one word, and it's amazing. Something else might come out, a sentence or a flow. We just need to tap into it and be bold and courageous. And that's why I'm excited, because obviously, yeah, there were several people picking up that interpretation. I love it. Okay, so the unity of the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So diversities means different kinds of gifts, variety and assortment of gifts. Now, the gifts vary from divine revelation to an awesome and amazing power of God that's the demonstration of working in miracles, and special faith and gifts of healings. Special faith, that was when Peter was in that boat during the storm and he saw Jesus. And he said, if that's you, Lord, bid me to come. And Jesus gave him one word. He said, come. And Peter, on the strength of that one word, operated under a spirit of faith and walked on water. Nobody's done it since then. That's the gift of special faith. Special faith came into operation. He did something that wasn't even just his own faith, that defied several laws of gravity and everything else. The gift of special faith was in operation. And we can operate in that today, very simple. When God says for us to come or to do something, we can step out. We have a measure of faith, but when the spirit of faith or the gift of faith comes into our lives, we go and do something supernatural. And it can be an operation. And it's wonderful to see it. And people will see it. They go, how did you do that? Because they'll know that you can't do that in the natural. And it's hooking up to the gift of faith. It's available. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. It is available. To the glorious inspiration of prophecy. Prophecy, again, is inspirational. It's for exhortation, encouragement, and comfort to mankind. Prophecy is beautiful. We need to get to a place as believers where prophecy should be like second nature to us. Because all the people that we come in contact with, and again, I say there's so many words. You know, people ask us for advice. Well, I say, Lord, I've got nothing to tell them. Because it's not one shoe size fits all. People are a mixed bunch, like a dolly mixture. We need to hear from heaven. We need to operate in the gift of prophecy or the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom to connect with people for a supernatural solution. People are looking for answers with their delinquent teenagers, or they're looking for an answer in their marriage. I can't just give them what worked for Dan and I. We're looking to tap into the supernatural, inspirational gifts of God so that we can tap in and we can give them the God solution, because God knows people. He knows their heart, knows where they're at. He knows their future. And we need to divinely hear from God. It's just another way of being hungry for God. Being hungry, saying, here am I, Lord, use me. And we can wake up every day and say, Lord, here am I, use me. And what you heard tonight in the class, you can start to hear that out there in the harvest field if you get sensitive to the Spirit of God. And it becomes exciting. It's like a treasure hunt. And you just start to speak. And people go, wow. And it's a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. The Bible says, though there are diversities of gifts, they flow from the same Spirit. There is no difference in the Spirit that proceeds from the gift of the word of wisdom, or that proceeds from the gift of interpretation of tongues. This is very important to understand, okay? It's from the same Spirit. It's Abba Father. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen? And it's not like saying, wow, look at that miracle. That's awesome. And oh, that gift of prophecy. Yeah, well, anyone can prophesy. No. It's all God. Amen? And like one man says, which is the best gift? Well, the best gift, quoting him, the best gift is the gift that any person needs at that given time. Yeah, someone might not be needing a working a miracle. They might just need a word of knowledge, revelation knowledge. And that's the best gift at that time, because it's one Spirit, one Lord, one God. They're all equally supernatural and equally important. Amen? Definition of diversity. A diversity is a difference or variety. 1 Corinthians 12:5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. It goes on to say, in administration, we have degrees of leadership. I'll explain the administration. Administration is just referring to the offices, for example, an office of a prophet, evangelist, teacher, etc. In these administrations, there are different degrees of leadership. The gift of the word of wisdom is a function of the apostle or the prophet. Okay, just like with an evangelist. With an evangelist, you'll have the gifts working through them of supernatural healings and supernatural miracles. Like Reinhard Bonnke or like Benny Hinn. They're evangelizing. They're winning souls to Jesus. Jesus went out and evangelized. You know what he did? He healed the sick. He worked miracles. He cleansed the lepers, and then people followed him. Amen? People will follow signs and wonders. Some of them will follow the hearing and the preaching of the word, but others will follow where is Jesus? Show me Jesus, like doubting Thomas. Show me, where is Jesus? And when Jesus turns up through us, through signs and wonders following, yay, we win them to Jesus. We win them to Jesus. It's very precious, especially in this day and age. There's so much out there, so much voodoo going on and spiritual wickedness going on and demonstrations of the move of the Spirit that's not of God. And God wants to increase his power and his glory through his body. Amen. And we need to, we're able to match that, because God, he, it's like, you know, he can match that and trump it. He is God. And we need to be able to stand up and say, yeah, hey, I've got a word of wisdom for you. Never mind going down to the fortune teller. Never mind going to see a hypnotist to get delivered. Hey, I've got the power of God working in me, and just step up by faith. Amen? It's by faith that we connect into the gifts. Now, the gift of prophecy may function in any lay person in the church. That just means anybody. Anyone in the family of God can prophesy. Little children can prophesy. I love it. I just love it so much. Sometimes as adults, we've got all these several filters. You know, we kind of heard it tonight. I've done it myself. It's not me. I've not got it. Can't be me. I don't know. I've only got a word. Is it me, Lord? All these reasoning filters. And the little children, blah, 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 just open up their mouth. Speak it like it is. That's why we need to become like little children. Yay, teacher, I've got something. Give me the microphone. And away you go. Away you go. Because it's a classroom atmosphere here. This is where you're going to safely learn. Safely learn in a classroom. It takes the same Lord Jesus Christ in command, whether it is to change a nation or bless one person. Whether it be a great work with thousands being born again, like those great evangelists, they go into these nations like in India and they altar calls and there can be thousands giving their life to the Lord, okay? Or a small work with one person being converted, it is the same Lord administering his power. The Lord does the work through us, okay? It's us as human beings that puts a value on it, okay? For years, I used to look and think, oh, I'd love to be Joyce Myers. Look at her. Must be neat, teaching to thousands of people, you know, until the Lord corrected me and said, excuse me, honey. Excuse me. It's my business how I use my daughter, and I will use you, and don't compare. Don't get into jealousies. Because if you're doing that, you're missing out on the fact that I want to use you here today, right now. So don't do that. That was in my earlier years. And so I love it. The Lord uses me primarily a lot on one-on-one with people. And that anointing and that power and the reward I will get when I get to heaven for allowing the Holy Spirit to use me one-on-one with people, same probably as Joyce Myers. Why? It's just about obedience. It's about the Holy, allowing the Holy Spirit to move through us. Amen? It's his kingdom. It's his business if he uses so-and-so to preach to thousands. And it's not a thinking, oh, you know, Reinhard Bonnke, oh, it's so wonderful he gets so many people saved, you know, he's going to get this big crown in heaven. No, he's actually just obeying the call of God in his life. It's the anointing and the call of God in his life. It's the same, going to be the same reward if you're obedient. If the Lord calls you just to pray and intercede in the quiet place and just to minister to people one-on-one, it's the same Lord. Okay, there is no like, this is big and this is small. Okay, it's about obeying the call of God in your life and hearkening to the Holy Spirit and how he wants to use you. Amen? Because we're all going to be used differently, but it's the same one Spirit. All right? 1 Corinthians 12:6, and there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. In the powerful functioning of the Church of Christ, there are operations which cost millions of pounds or dollars, and there are operations that cost little or nothing. For example, look at Hillsong. It costs millions for them to distribute their, you know, their songs worldwide and to go on national television. That's millions of dollars. Okay, and here's us. We wake up every day and the Lord says, hey, go next door and today take a cake to your neighbor and love your neighbor and bless them. Bless them, do that for 7 days, and you do that for 7 days. And then the eighth day you go back, and they're ready to receive Jesus. How powerful. How mighty is that? It's about finding out what the Holy Spirit wants you to do in your world. And again, it's about action. It's about action. Random acts of kindness. It's about doing whatever God wants you to do. Amen? But it's about stepping out and doing it. It's all operable by faith. All right, we say, love thy neighbor. When yay, send me, Lord, to India. I can preach the gospel. But literally, if he says, Tracy, that woman next door that's bugging you with the swearing and that, can you go next door and love on her and bless her and pray for her? Yeah, it's where the rubber hits the road. That's us bringing it down to home, all right? And we just need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. We can all have dreams and visions, and we can know, yay, down, you know, down the line, international ministry, we've got that running through our spirit. But meantime, you do what God calls you to do. You obey Jesus. Amen? You just do what the Lord calls you to do and humble yourself. This teaches us the unity of the body of Christ and the respect that we must have one for another. Whatever the operation God gives us, whether it's house-to-house visitation, passing out tracts, or moving an entire nation by preaching to thousands, it's His work and the same God who works all in all. Remember, it's not about us. It's not about that badge. It's not about, look at me. No way. You start getting into that pride area, there's going to be a rug pulled out from under your feet. Okay, that's why it's important, as well as hungering and desiring after these spiritual gifts. The Bible says to desire spiritual gifts, especially you may prophesy, because that you can prophesy and minister to people. But you've got to remain humble. You've got to have your character of love hand in hand with that, lest you get arrogant and pride and, wow, look at me. God's using me. Is He using you? I mean, that's like the disciples, isn't it? The disciples, you know, they were arguing against one another. The mums are going, hey, can my son sit next to you in the kingdom to come? It's not about that. We're not in competition with one another. It's the body of Christ. We love one another, and the body is knit together for the purpose of building the kingdom. Amen? And we grow gracefully together, and we love and respect each other. And God uses us differently. Amen? But it's all His work. We're not to be jealous of one another. We are all to perform together in Christ. And I've been like that in the past. You know, we've grown up with wonderful, strong, prophetic women. And there'd be times I'm thinking, I'd love to say something, but I just can't grab the microphone, you know. I just can't do it. I feel inadequate. But you grow in Christ, you grow as you hang around and you hunger and thirst after righteousness and you get around the gospel of the gifts of the Spirit and you get into that environment, you grow in it. You grow in it. I used to be a shy person. You wouldn't know that now. I was extremely shy, even in the beginning stages of high school. I hated school speeches. I hated having attention drawn to me. Despised it. I was insecure, felt inadequate. And then Christ got a hold of me and His love got inside of me. And then the call of God was on my life. And the two of them, that healing restoration of love and my security and the call met in the middle and away we go. I'm like, give me the microphone. Where are the hundreds of thousands, Lord? I seen it in my spirit. I'm like, let's go there. And He says, we're going nowhere till you're ready, honey. You know, because He knows what we're really ready for. Sometimes we think, I'm ready now. And He goes, no, I know you're not really ready, darling. No. You know, like Danny talks about his mission trips in the jungle and having to eat pepper squinty, which was rat, and having to sleep in mud huts with tarantulas. Yeah, I want to go on a mission trip, like a real mission trip, not one to Fiji in a 5-star resort. I mean, a real missions trip, baby. You know, like I'd be saying, no, I couldn't do that, Lord. I would never sleep. I wouldn't eat their food. So here am I, Lord, send someone else. I'm not capable of doing that. Yeah, yeah. So we just need to know what God's called us to do because we'll have the grace to do it. There are people that are graced to be missionaries in those places, and it's not me. I don't even like the idea of going camping down the coast in a tent. No. Sorry. We are not to be jealous one of another. 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. There are three key words in the sentence. First is manifestation. So manifestation, this means for one or more of the nine gifts to be apparent in your life. It is a demonstration of a gift of the Spirit. I love it. Okay, like Danny was teaching tonight, and suddenly I saw the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit come on him or through him, however you want to look at it. And I knew, I thought, Danny's got something. I almost started laughing like, woo, yay. A gift of the Spirit is about to be in operation. And you saw, and you know, you saw the change. The countenance, his countenance changed. There was a manifestation of the gift of the Spirit coming upon him. People will see it, they'll feel it. each. This point has to be stressed because so many of the body of Christ eliminate themselves from the truly great things of God. Each one means every person. Okay, so it's not just for the fivefold ministry. It's not just for the pastor or the prophet or the teacher. It clearly says each one means every person. God is no respecter of persons. Yes, with offices like the evangelist, teacher, prophet, pastor, they will function and they'll have gifts to go with their office. It's no use being a pastor if you cannot give people counsel with words of knowledge and words of wisdom and prophesy into their lives to look after the sheep. You have to have those gifts functioning in their office. It's no use being an evangelist and not having those gifts of healings and miracles, you know, operating to win people to Christ. Because evangelism is about winning the lost to Jesus. Amen? But this says each one means every single person. You can hunger and thirst after the gifts of the Spirit. You can say, here am I, God. And you can be allowing God to work through your lives as he wills in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? You can hunger after God. And the main reason why you're doing this is because you have a revelation. Not to be used by the gifts or to be seen. You have a revelation that you love people and you want God to meet their need through you, bottom line. You must have a love for people. It is not just about branding around a gift like a toy to show off and be seen. You must have a love for people. And then the Lord works through that heart of love. He works through you. He works through your hands. He works through your eyes. He works through your mouth to reach the people. You know why? He loves the people. That's why the gifts of the Spirit are there, because Abba Father, Daddy, loves the people. For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus, that he sent the body of Christ, that he sent the disciples. That's everyone in this room. And he gives us power. You've seen the difference, you know, like you see a little mini going down the street and then you see some V8 coming down the street with power. Doesn't it draw your attention? Don't you want to look at the V8 car? And if you were given a choice between a V8 Chevrolet and a mini, what would you choose? Yeah, I know, the one with the power. Amen. We need to have the manifestation of the power working through our lives. Then people will see, hey, that's God. There's all these other gods, Buddha, all these other gods, religion. We need to be able to show them our God, the God of power, the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. Words count. Words count in the kingdom, amen? We need to have that power. Each person in a congregation can look to God for the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit in their life. We must not look at our weaknesses and difficulties and say that the gifts of the Spirit are not for us. The Bible says each one. Don't be intimidated. Don't restrict yourself to your personality and think, oh, I can't speak. I'm shy. I belong in a library. Well, let me tell you something. It's not you. It's God through you. And let me tell you something. God likes to talk. Amen? God speaks. And he takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Foolish things. Things like, okay, a shy little broken girl like me. And people like, well, who are you? You shouldn't be like this. You were heading for another lifestyle. You were heading for ruin. You were on that path to hell. It's the power of Christ taking the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, to put to shame the wise. Like, you don't know. You've not got the final authority in someone's life. There's a but God in people's lives. There's a but God. So you may be shy in yourself. The Lord goes, yay, I can do that. And your weakness, I'm strong. He says, if you just trust me, move over. I just want to use your mouth. I just want to use your mouth. It's wonderful he does it. Because it's easy for us, like extroverts or ones that like to talk, to be utilized in the oracle gifts. But how much more powerful, like, yay, oh, wow. The one that normally sits in the back, suddenly they prophesy under the anointing and power of God. Phew, that's God. Amen? Don't restrict yourself. Don't limit yourself and think you can hide in your different personalities, because it's actually God working through us. I love it. It's beautiful. Prophet, there is a spiritual profit or benefit to every individual who manifests the gifts of the Spirit. If one who is poor in spirit, that means humble, and leans on the good things of God, then a move into the gifts will bring him tremendous profits which belong to those who manifest the gifts of the Spirit. Some of the benefits are these. You have confidence in the Holy Spirit. You understand the flow of the Spirit. You know what it's like to be led by the Spirit of God. Like those of you tonight, you got a taste of it. You did get a part of that interpretation. And so next time when you step out, you'll go, hey, I can do this. You get confidence knowing that you've heard the Holy Spirit. And if you think, oh, I can't hear from God, well, you need to change your confession. You just say, thank you, Father, I can hear. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. I can hear from your Holy Spirit. Gain confidence in yourself by changing your confession and have your mind renewed. Okay, maybe you couldn't hear from God a year ago. I know the first year in my life of being born again, I couldn't hear from God. So I used to go to a couple of these pastoral ladies and go, I need to hear from Jesus. Can you prophesy? And they'd prophesy, and it's like, great. And then one day I started hearing Jesus myself. It's beautiful. And then the next step is being used in the gifts of the Spirit. And you'll grow in confidence. Like, I can do this. Just like Ginny, she just saw a picture. I'm not given that. But then she had some manifestation, like I felt sick. It's almost like a force was on her, you know, to bring it. And then she bought it. And then next minute, wow, flowing in those gifts. And I'm sure people benefit. And she profits knowing that, hey, if I've got faith to move in these gifts, wow, I can move in other gifts. We get confident. Amen? So summary, the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural endowments, endowment meaning abilities or attributes from God to man. These gifts cannot be owned by man as his own. Okay, so we're not going around saying, oh, yay, I can, you know, I've got the gift of prophecy, or I've got tongues and interpretation, it's my gift, I'm carrying it around in my back pocket. They're his gifts, okay? And you know what a gift is? Freely you've received, freely you give. A gift is there as an act of love to give away. To give away. That's why we have to be confident. We've got to learn in this class how to move in the gifts. Because what if one day you're somewhere and you get a stirring in your spirit and you know the Lord wants to use you to prophesy to someone and you withhold that? But God's love wants to give that person a gift and move through you, an oracle to that person. He wants to reach out and love that person, and we need to learn to be bold to do it. And this is the classroom environment where step out and learn, because then you'll get confident. Like after that, you know, Ginny gave it, like, oh, what a relief. And then, hey, I can move in this gift. She was bold. You've got to start somewhere. And that's why even if it's an adult class, you start in class. It's wonderful. You can't go wrong. Even if it's just a few words, that's how you start to learn. Just a few words. When a child speaks, they don't run off the mouth and give you sentences. They give you a few words and we go, yay, wonderful. Yay, we're excited. And that's what we like. If it's a few words, come and bring it. Yay. And you'll get confidence and you'll profit from that, because you'll go and you'll think, yeah, I can. And next time you'll be more bolder and you'll start using it in the people in your world. Amen. The gifts are a sign to the world. Amen. It's all about Jesus manifesting himself. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Father, for your people, your beautiful children that have come here tonight, Father, to sit at the feet of Jesus.